Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. As we inch towards the end of 2024, what travel goals do you have that you haven't yet met?
And furthermore, what travel goals do you have for 2025?
While we always have a healthy dose of national park travel on the horizon in any given year, this year I'm definitely planning to visit friends in Europe.
And don't forget, we have a pretty incredible trip to Iceland coming up this December, so we're both bound for European shores.
That's right, and thankfully, there's one travel guidebook company we can always look toward for all our travel needs.
From our hikes, to hotels, to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they're writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel Guides.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library. Head to our show notes and check it out to see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks, and also see it at moon.com.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides has you covered.
Head to moon.com before December 31st, 2024, and use code GAZE24, again, that's GAZE24, at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel. Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right. And this Trail Mix episode is all about banana slugs.
If you have been listening to our episodes from this season, you'll know that we are working our way through the magical wonderland that is Olympic National Park. Along with mountains, seascapes, and forests, Olympic National Park is home to a temperate rainforest, which serves as the optimal environment for the banana slug.
Something we saw quite a few of while in Olympic National Park. And you might be wondering why we felt the need to put an explicit rating on this seemingly innocuous Trail Mix episode about banana slugs. To that we say, stick around and find out. Also, if you're triggered by discussion about nature's natural process when it comes to reproduction, then consider this your heads up.
Okay, so what do we know about banana slugs?
Sex.
I mean, we're going to get there. We will get there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Didn't think we would go there, but we're going to go there.
What I know most of is that they're endemic to Olympic.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Specifically, ho rainforest areas, temperate rainforest areas. I think that their natural environment might spread beyond just Olympic National Park into mm-hmm. other parts of the Pacific Northwest, but I think they are pretty much relegated to that region of the country and in the world.
Well, we shall see.
Okay.
Let's dive in, shall we?
Pacific banana slugs, or as it is known by its scientific name, Areolamax colombianus. Welcome to the stage, Areolamax.
I know.
Was something we often saw while hiking in Olympic National Park. Their name comes from their color, which is similar to a ripe banana.
So, Mike, let's discuss what color is a ripe banana,
wow.
Specifically a ripe banana. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did put this in and we're going there.
We are going there.
We're going there. Tell us a little bit about the color of a ripe banana.
The banana color that is what I prefer when it comes to ripeness is like, it's still a little green, but it's just starting to turn yellow. It's like a light, like slimy green.
Okay,
yellow.
Great. But incredibly green is not ripe, correct?
No.
Okay, great. I bring this up because when we went hiking in, it was
Shenandoah
recently. Mm-hmm. Mike grabbed bananas. We had one day of hiking in Shenandoah, and he grabbed the greenest bananas I've ever seen. And I was like, hi, so we were going to eat these tomorrow, but I don't think we're going to be able to eat these until the middle of next week because these are not ripe. At all. Mm-hmm. And you were like, what?
Did they know that he had to do all the shopping before this trip at like 10 p.m., which
is
past
true.
His bedtime?
Uh-huh.
You got what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, banana slugs are bright yellow, or in some cases, they can resemble an overripe banana and be paler yellow or brownish in color with spots. They are one of the largest slugs found in North America and can reach up to 10 inches long. They are also one of the slowest. Not that slugs are known for their speed, but banana slugs move at a rate of 3 to 4 inches an hour, with the highest speed being recorded at 6.5 inches per hour.
The name banana slug actually refers to 8 different species of slugs found in North America, specifically along the West Coast from the coast of California to the forests of Alaska. They prefer damp, temperate, or coniferous forests, hence why they are found so often in Olympic National Park, as this is an area known for its temperate rainforest. They can be found in the Sierra Nevada mountains, as well as the Santa Cruz mountains, which is actually a hot spot for banana slugs. And while they are out and about throughout the year, they prefer a moist climate. So the dry heat of summer may keep them off the trails and bring them out only during the cooler evenings.
Slugs are gastropods, sort of like Dusty and I, which also includes snails and whelks, and fall under the classification of mollusks.
I prefer to be a whelk.
But what defines gastropods is the one muscular foot that contracts and expands in order to move either across a forest floor or up a tree. This foot also serves as their stomach, a stomach that also features a thin row of micro-sized teeth in the tail. Banana slugs contain 4 antennae, the top of which act as eyes, and the bottom 2 serve for smelling and feeling. Gastropods thrive on moisture, and in order to stay moist, they secrete a layer of mucus across their entire bodies, which also allows them to defend against predators, causing a sudden numbness to the mouth and tongue of the animal that tries to ingest them.
Banana slugs evolved originally from snails, but over time, they lost the shell that snails carry, perhaps out of survival, or the fact that there were advantages to a life without a shell. Having no shell allows them to hide in pockets of the forest and get into cooler, damper spots that snails with shells otherwise couldn't access.
Like most gastropods, banana slugs are decomposers, so their movement helps them to break down things on the forest floor, and they also feed on dead animal and plant material. A perfect example of a symbiotic relationship in nature is the relationship shared between the banana slug and the redwood tree. In Redwoods National Park, banana slugs eat the very young, burgeoning sapling of trees that would compete for shade with redwood trees, while not eating the saplings of redwoods. As redwoods grow and develop over time, their size and forest create a cooler, more temperate environment for the banana slug, a symbiotic and mutually beneficial relationship where both parties help each other thrive.
Doesn't that sound nice?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like humans should take a note.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! During the months of November and December, we are highlighting the work of Native Like Water in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Founded over 24 years ago in San Diego, California, Native Like Water was launched to focus on and practice with indigenous sacred relationships to water. Native Like Water programs work towards solutions and sustainability of our life force. The organization prepares and reintegrates teens and young adults into ocean recreation, conservation, wellness, and intergenerational cultural self-exploration.
With programming like Youth Native Scholars, YNS, and Intertribal Youth, ITY, Native Like Water has helped to develop and implement academic, wellness, and cultural programs for Native American, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians, as well as youth from various nations. Native Like Water has programming which is open to a greater public, curating cultural experiences through an indigenous lens with a focus on cultural conservation and natural habitat.
Native Like Water is committed to not only education, but also working to enrich the lives of others. Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help support Native Like Water this November and December. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information or by visiting www.nativelikewater.org. The mucus or slime secreted by slugs also helps them survive. It aids in breathing, allowing for gas exchange.
I mean, yep. The jokes write themselves.
And allows them to survive drier days. They will coat themselves in slime and curl up in a safe, moist place until temperatures improve. It also helps them with movement because slime helps them stick to surfaces and also aids in suction. If you've ever seen a slug move across a car window or a sheet of glass, you can see the slime remnants behind them. Often, banana slugs will eat their own slime as a way to recycle it and absorb it back into themselves. They have mouths located on their tails, which makes this process easy for consumption.
Slime also helps with banana slug mating. And while we could do this episode without getting into the mating behaviors of banana slugs, I think the real question is, why wouldn't we? The slime serves as a major component for attraction between banana slugs. When they are ready and feeling up for a banana slug sheet shaking, va-va-voom, a banana slug will add pheromones to their slime. This kind of acts like a bat signal to the other slugs around to say, hey, in case you're wondering, I'm up for this, and you can follow me this way. When another slug encounters slime that piques their interest, they'll follow the slime like rose petals into a hotel room while eating the slime along the way until they find the other slug waiting for them like Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate.
Next up, the banana slugs will whack each other with their tails. Some scientists call this dancing. This is to see if they are slugs of the same species. Once this is confirmed, they proceed by showing their sex organs to each other. Okay, so I did not know this, but apparently banana slugs have one of the largest penis-to-body ratios on the planet. Some of them literally having penises the size of their bodies. One species of banana slug is called the Areolamax dolichophilus, dolicho meaning long, phallus meaning penis. So it's literally named for its long penis.
Now, apparently, this is widely known in the animal kingdom, or should we say, lengthily known in the animal kingdom. Banana slugs actually contain both male and female sex organs. And in some rare cases, banana slugs have actually impregnated themselves. But let's get back to whacking each other with tails. After establishing this connection, the banana slugs get down to the deed, where they swap sperm with each other for literal hours, resulting in the two of them ending up in a giant, gloppy, sticky pool of slime at the end. And that's not all.
That's right. No, it's not all. There's more.
I don't know how there could be. The slime serves as a post-eat meal for both of them, as both of them eat up all the slime that has been mixed together. And then both slugs return to their normal day. And this mating ritual results most often in both of them becoming pregnant.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. But if you thought that was the end, it's not. However, there are rare instances where their male sex organs will become so entwined and stuck together that it requires one of the slugs to use their teeth to chew off the others in order to break free.
No.
Yes. And when this happens, the other slug immediately returns the favor, resulting in, yes, that is correct, double castration. Let's just sit with that for a second.
No.
Yes. Yes. Double castration. Doesn't happen often, but it happens often enough. Science has not yet uncovered if they are able to regenerate their male sex organs, but they often live out the rest of their lives with only female sex organs.
Soon.
Mike's recovering.
Yeah. No, the soon was a threat. Soon. Soon, the slugs depart back to their separate parts of the forest to lay their eggs. They lay around 20 to 30 eggs. Once the eggs are laid, they are immediately abandoned. A few weeks later, a group of baby slugs emerge, who appear white when born, but will then develop into yellow varieties like their parents.
Mating rituals aside, banana slugs are vital to the environments and the ecosystems in which they live. They have been called nature's cleanup crew. As they move through the forest, eating dead animal and plant material, they spread plant seeds and spores throughout. One study even found that banana slugs would choose starving or not eating over eating the seedling of a redwood or a sequoia tree. Because in this study, what they did is they put them in like these saplings in cardboard and they put them throughout this forested area. Slugs ate the cardboard, but they did not mess with the tree, which further proves that this symbiotic relationship continues to thrive and will continue to thrive as long as we do our part to protect and preserve their natural environment. So yeah, that is how banana slugs create more banana slugs.
Well,
how are you doing?
I mean, this is sex education that I never got in school.
That is true. I never got the reproductive practices and rituals of slugs or banana slugs.
No.
But it is fascinating. They describe the position in which they take as a yin and yang position.
I see. Mm-hmm. Perhaps one would also know that as a set of numbers.
That is correct. So, yes. And apparently for a scientist that studied banana slugs, the thing that continues to pop up is just like the mating rituals and how they are so fascinating.
Mm. The sources for today's episode include the NPS, OpenSpaceTrust.org, and FriendsOfEdgewood.org. And now let's end this trail mix with a game.
All right, Mike. So here is the game for today. You ready?
I am.
I was inspired by the phrase banana slug. And in this, you're going to name other insects, mollusks, and things that fly or crawl about.
Okay.
That also have a food as part of their name.
Great.
Okay. So the first one. This is something that you might see in a mound and is named for a sweet ingredient that comes from cane.
What's a sugar ant?
That's right, a sugar ant. Great. This is something that you might find near a garbage can if a banana peel has been thrown in there.
You also might find them at the gay club. They're called fruit flies.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. This insect is smaller than a cockroach, larger than an ant, may be a cousin of an aphid, and is in some cultures considered sacred, is named for a food that is famous in Ireland. And it's also where we get French fries from.
What's a potato bug?
Potato is correct. We were looking for potato beetle.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is it the same thing? You know what a potato bug is, right?
I think so. I think a potato bug and a potato beetle all are the same thing.
Okay.
Everybody come for us in the comments okay. if it's not. Okay, great.
I was like a haggis fly.
This particular creature flies about and is very beautiful. And starts as a caterpillar and is named for this citrus fruit that is not a lime or an orange and is yellow in color.
What's a lemon butterfly?
That is correct. I don't know what a lemon butterfly is, but apparently it's a thing.
Okay.
Yep. This non-butterfly flying insect, which can usually be found near things that are illuminated, is named for a nut that is often crushed into a milk.
What is an almond moth?
That is right, an almond moth. This underwater crawly is something that I'm allergic to and is named for this little tiny like white and red candy that comes in a clear wrapper that's circular.
What is a peppermint shrimp?
That's right. What is a peppermint shrimp?
And I'm finally, amazed at all these like food named insects.
The last one. This is the form of a fly before it becomes a fly, and it is named for something that contains varieties like Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, or Granny Smith.
What is an apple maggot?
That is correct. Oh. An apple maggot.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.